It feels like forever since the last bank holiday weekend. So I'm pretty hyped that we get to spend this one together. I love bank holidays because I kind of miss when I was at school and I would have 6 whole weeks of not having to do responsible things. And you don't get that as an adult, and that just seems a bit unfair. Anyway, I have many exciting things to share with you in the next half an hour, so we ought to get started. Your hand is closed over mine as we ascend the escalator, avoiding the band-aid on the banister and my sudden affection for Americanisms. It's not a criticism, but I'm in an awful position, lobotomized by the way that your eyes are endlessly enchanting. We are escaping Ebbsfleet to Stratford, say the tickets on my person, but my heart is international, angsting and agonizing over my mistress. Miss Australia, I'll miss you when you're sick of me. My heart is intentionally international, soaring to the sights of holiday shop windows when I am with you, transferring from high speed to tube, singing Send Her to Me to soothe your underground anxiety blues, drinking like Miss Diane on the overground to deal with the depths of my obsessional possessiveness. Because the truth is, this never normally happens to me. I'm sincerely sorry for being in love on TFL. As it happens, it's never this strong, never this deep. But I keep throwing myself down to the ground on the off chance that I can descend further into full-on fuck, I love her so much. Hello, it's me again. Selfishly, I stand in the way of the world, staring, eating up every atom of my universe, holding my mouth with my shaking hand so it won't stay open in awe of affection in its true human form. Stay true to me on the train and our escalator escapade. Feels like I'm living in a love song, orchestra on the overground, night after night, as long as you're mine. I wrote that sort of on a very varied journey across London's fascinating transport system. I couldn't stop thinking about the whole Diane Abbott mojito thing. So for those that don't know, there's a politician in the UK called Diane Abbott, and it was a bank holiday, I feel like it was a bank holiday. And it was a very hot day, and she was on the overground, which is, like, it's a train, but, like, it's not a train. It's definitely a train. It's like the tube, but, like, not underground. Hence why it's called the overground. Anyway, it's like the orange trains. If you ever go to London, you'll know what I mean. Like, you'll see them. They're orange and they're fun, and they kind of, they're nicer than the regular trains in London. So she was on this train, and this dude took a picture of her. She was drinking, like, a mojito in a can, because, like, you can get them in cans from, like, different shops and that. And she was drinking it, and he took a picture of her because, you know, that's not creepy at all. And then he started spreading it around social media. And I think he really thought he did something there. He really thought it was going to be this big moment and everyone was going to be like, oh, so much for the tolerant left. God, she's awful. But everyone was just like, you're all right, wind your neck in, mate. What the fuck? It was a bank holiday. Miss Thing just went to have a little drink. Leave her alone, right? And then she had to apologize. It was a whole thing. I'm going to read her apology tweet because I think about it all the time. She said, a photo of me drinking from a can of M&S mojito on the overground has been circulated. I'm sincerely sorry for drinking on TFL. Now, I know that she said sincerely. I feel that there was some, you know, I don't feel she needs to be sorry. It's really not a big deal. But I love that tweet because to me, it's very, you know, oh yeah, I'm very sorry. Wink, wink, nudge. Can you believe this crybaby? You know what I mean? and I think about that whole incident all the time. It was ridiculous. Like, it's not like she was like falling around the carriage drunk and like throwing up on people or anything. She was just sitting there minding her business, having a wee drink. I think she was like on the phone as well. I don't know. But she wasn't making a nuisance of herself. She was just having a little drink. And you know, and this dude really thought he did something. It was so stupid. Like it was like the dumbest political scandal since Theresa May and the Fields of Wheat incident. But anyways, for some reason I had that moment in my head when I was on the overground, so that's why there's random references to that moment, that situation in that poem. But I've always loved traveling on, you know, the tube and the Overground and the DLR throughout London. It's very nostalgic for me. It reminds me of when I was at university. I used to go through all these dumb routes to make it take even longer to get home just because I liked being on the trains. I kind of felt like I was like in a movie or something. I don't know. Like, you listen to a good playlist and you're just on the train. You know, you're like in the big city and it's really cool. Okay, so I wrote this story about the European Parliament, and I haven't done anything with it, and I just remembered that yesterday, because I was on the train, as I mentioned in my last poem, actually, from Kent to Stratford International, and we were held at Stratford for a couple minutes before things continued, because apparently there was a Eurostar behind us and it needed to get in front of us. I'm not really sure how that happened. I don't really understand. But anyway, and I just thought, oh, the Eurostar. Wonder if we're still going to have access to that post-Brexit. Hashtag sad face. I know there's going to be some people who are going to think I'm like a Ramoni liberal or whatever, but I don't care. Those people can get their own podcast. I'm sure there's a huge market out there for podcasts like that. I don't know. But anyway, so I thought I would share that story with you now. It is a spy story, but not really. Okay. Alexandra Phillips scowled up at the Parliament, her fingers closed around her Farage and Friends lunchbox that held her only safe haven from the excruciating europhilia surrounding her. A taste of home, delicious British cuisine for lunchtime. Today's menu was mini margarita pizzas, deliciously British. She stared disdainfully down at the iPad that she had been given, secretly enjoying the perks of her new position, but knowing that it was her patriotic duty as a Brexit Party MEP to be outraged. She focused her mind on her mission as a FaceTime notification appeared, and her heart swelled with pride as she saw that the caller was her fearless leader, Nigel Farage. Alexandra, he began, his flat cap atop his head like a halo. Britain is depending on you to solve this case. She nodded, tears in her eyes, as he continued. We have to find out how these European scoundrels got her here. They shuddered in unison as he uttered the name Alexandra feared the most. We have to find out how they found the other Alexandra Phillips. Of course, she whispered. We'll make those Europeans pay. Her eyes narrowed as she spotted her nemesis from across the room with a green rosette. The other Alexandra Phillips. Yes, Nigel, we'll make those Europeans pay. Deal or no deal? It's actually still crazy to me that the Southeast region has two MEPs with the exact same name, but they're from opposing parties. Like, it's just so ridiculous to think that that is, I mean, that's just peak 2019 politics, really. But I was watching the announcement of that region when the European elections was happening on the night. My brother and sister were watching it with me, and they were very confused because they were like, well, it says Alexandra Phillips, but now they put her name twice, what's going on? And I was like, no, that's another Alexandra Phillips. And they were like, you serious? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, really? I was like, yeah. So basically the situation is this: we have Alexandra Phillips from the Green Party, who is pro-Europe. And then we have Alexandra Phillips from the Brexit Party, who's anti-Europe. And I think it's so funny. They get into Twitter arguments sometimes, and it's literally Alexandra Phillips versus Alexandra Phillips, just for tweets and tweets and tweets, and it's so funny. It's just 2019, man. What a time. Okay. So we are once again continuing the great tradition of me randomly doing things in the middle of the episode. I briefly talked about my podcast the other day at a performance, and I mentioned that I sometimes do tarot readings in the middle. So guess what time it is? Let's find out about our future. Hopefully today we can get some insight on whether I will ever stop being self-destructive as fuck in regards to relationships. Oh yeah, that's a story. So while I'm shuffling, remember to make a wish. We're gonna start, should I go first or should you go first? Okay, I'll go first because it's my podcast. So when you go to your friend's house when you're a kid and it's like, oh, you know, I get to go first because it's my house, and then we'll do you. But I'll let you know. Well, you can just make a wish all the way through if you want. It's your life. But yeah, so I'll catch you up. So basically, a couple of months ago, you may have mentioned me talking about how I started talking to somebody who used to be in my life over social media randomly because I don't know. Well, I did it again. And I don't know why. It initially started with me basically saying, yeah, so sorry about a couple of months ago when I reached out to you for no reason. And then it descended into, you know, continuing to talk for several hours until I fell asleep, because I do that. And then we just carried on talking when I woke up. So, I mean, and I'm like, why am I doing this? What is this for? How does this serve me? I don't know. But I mean, it's not like I hate them, because I don't. But I also, I don't know what it is that I think is going to happen. I like to know where things are going, as you'll know. And so I don't know if it's me subconsciously thinking. I don't know. I really should just focus on my work and shit, because that makes me happy, you know. I've always thought that writing and creating is my first and truest love, and I think it shall be until the day I die. So let's find out what's gonna happen. Okay. And a disclaimer to the people that do this properly and know what they're talking about and stuff. I'm just a girl on a podcast having fun. If we make something happen, cool. But, you know, let's not send me some emails. I get enough angry emails as it is. Let's all just have fun. Okay, so what happened before and what is it telling me? By the way, I'm using 3 cards for this because I've been studying, actually. And so what I'm doing here is I've got 3. So I've got 1 to look at past influences, 1 to look at the present situation, and 1 to look at what's going on in the future. So that's what we're going to be doing today, this evening, whatever. So the moon in reverse. I feel like the moon and I would be great friends if the moon was a person. Every time I see it, I just feel like happy, you know. Okay, everyone wants things done his or her way. Huh, so go easy on yourself. Take a mental health day to get away from responsibilities. When you come back, roll with the punches. Don't be too trusting or willing to go the extra mile unless you can afford it. Now that's interesting because, as I said earlier, we're on a bank holiday weekend. So maybe it's telling me, hey, just relax. Go to the cinema multiple times. Maybe have a cocktail. I don't know. Okay. So, 2 of Swords. Again in reverse. That's interesting. Doo-doo-doo. Your ability to see merit in all arguments hampers your ability to make decisions. Aim for cooperation, not confrontation. You see, that's interesting because I do that. I'm really bad at making decisions. I would like to be more assertive. I mean, maybe that's something that I am growing and learning to be able to do. That'd be nice. Be a nice treat for me. Ooh, being able to stand up for myself. Hooray. Oh, that's another reverse. What is that all about? The reverse Queen of Cups. Those around you are acting stuffier than normal. Pay no attention. Well. So, what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling is I need to relax. I need to stop thinking about other people's reactions to the things that I do. I need to be confident in who I am and the choices that I make as a person, as an artist, as a great thinker about things that concern foxes. I guess I need to trust how I feel and what I think is right, which is probably, I mean, that's doable. I can do that. Yeah. Okay. All right. You know what time it is? It's you time. Let's find out what's going on with you. Okay, this is the point, by the way. Make a wish. Wish for something good. Do what you want. Live your dreams. Okay. Oh, yours are all the right way up. Lucky you. Do do do. Okay. The Nine of Swords. Oh. Okay. So previously on your life, depression, suspicion, and self-doubt cloud. I can't even read. Cloud your sense of purpose. Don't lose your focus. I feel like that speaks for itself. You have to believe in yourself and believe in the things that matter to you and the things that you desire to give to the world. Because life is not only a gift to you, but it's an opportunity to give something to everybody else. And I think you just gotta try and keep faith in that. Okay, so what's going on with you currently? The Lovers in reverse. Exaggeration abounds. Emotions run high, especially jealousy. Beware of self-indulgence and greed. Slow down. Don't let anyone rush you or push you into things. So I think sometimes when you aren't confident in yourself and you lose faith in yourself, it can be easy to let other people, you know, sort of manipulate you, I guess. So if you have that strength in yourself and you believe in who you are and that you know what's best for you, I think it's easier to resist that and to push back and say, no, I know what I'm doing. Leave me the hell alone. So I wish that for you. I wish that you have complete belief in who you are and what you want to do. Okay, Seven of Cups reverse. This is the future. Ooh, make sure you're speaking clearly. High strong emotions could cloud your message. You have very little patience just now. Try to relax. Let go of all your worries. Because you got this. It's all good. Okay, I'm going to do one more for each of us. Because all my favourite YouTubers that do this. And I think it's cute. So, one more wish. And then, I don't know. One for you, one for me. Okay, let's see what I got. Seven of Swords. It's a little mousy. He's like riding on the swords. That's awesome. Making plans becomes problematic. Friends may let you down. Don't rely too much on others. You can't lose what's not yours to begin with. Get everything in writing. Yeesh. Okay, well, I feel like what I found for myself earlier was very much telling me to be more assertive, to be more confident, to be more self-sufficient, and I think that really makes sense here, because you know, friends may let you down. So you have to rely on yourself sometimes. You know? I can live with that. Okay. Check up on you. Sorry, it's like a really pretty moth with a key. Judgment. Ooh. Dun 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 dun. A job well done delivers many rewards. Laziness is punished. Make peace. Don't nitpick yourself or others too harshly. Patience brings success. Don't be cruel. health improves, it may take some effort on your part. See, I told you everything would be fine. A job well done delivers many rewards. You got this, I told you. Well, I feel like we're both going to be okay, which is good news, because in the constant hellfire tornado that is 2019, it's good to have some positive news every now and again. Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more. Love letters with shrinking text. Your ballpoint was so shy. Crouched down, afraid to grow old, to grow big and explore us. Fancies cry till they are real. Cut the universe and breathe. Like your teeny tiny text. Reverie seen through glasses. I wrote that like a long time ago, like 3 years ago at this point. And it's interesting because talking about reconnecting with someone from my past, I feel like maybe that's me. Like, I don't know. Maybe I know the reason. But it's like I'm not ready to say it yet because I'm kind of frightened about what all that means. So I guess I'm just going to run away from it. And because that's what I do. And what else could I do? Okay, so we're back for another luxury hot take. This one is very not appropriate for children. I don't think I have any children listeners, but if I do, skip ahead 5 or 10 minutes, okay? Promise that you will, because this is not appropriate for the kids. Okay, so we're talking about sex dolls. I know. I have never used one because I like to know that the person that I'm being intimate with is alive and is interested in being there. And obviously you cannot do that with an inanimate object. So for those who live in a blissful state of awareness where they don't know what sex dolls are, they are dolls that are life-size typically, and they are made to look like humans and people can have sex with them, as you would a person, except, you know, without you know, the actual, they're a real person part. Every couple of months, there will be articles in the local papers because there will be some kind of sex doll related shenanigan that has been deemed newsworthy. Like a couple of months ago, you know, there was sort of something about a sex doll brothel that had opened, where people could go and they could pay to have sex with these dolls. There was one about this convention that some people attended, and there was a sex doll on display, and basically they had to take it off display because people were so violent with the doll that it broke. There's been, you know, all kinds of controversies. Every few months there'll be some kind of new thing. There's quite a few documentaries out there about people who have different kinds of relationships with these dolls. There are some people who see their dolls as a partner, as somebody to share their life with, a companion, someone to marry even. And I have some concerns, and I know that I'm gonna get emails calling me sex negative, probably, like I did last time I kind of talked about sort of stuff in this orbit. But, you know, I can live with that. So, for the most part, with things sexually, I'm kind of a live and let live person. As long as you're not hurting anyone else and you're not involving anyone who doesn't want to be there, do what you want, I guess. For me, where I draw the line and where I can't support it, and where I think that maybe sometimes a little kink shaming is a bit healthy, is when things hurt other people, when things involve other people that didn't consent to it, and where things have a risk of becoming dangerous to other people or to the people themselves. Because I don't think that one person's sexual gratification matters more than somebody else's safety. That's just my take on it, I guess. Now, technically speaking, sex dolls are not dangerous per se, because a sex doll is not a person. So whatever the user of that doll does to that person, fuck, I've just called it a person, you know what I mean? Whatever they do to the doll is not going to feel it because they're not a sentient being. It's a doll, right? However, I can't lie, it troubles me that there are people who are able to find sexual fulfillment from having sex with something that cannot interact with them back but looks like a person. They're having sex with something that looks very much like a person. From the pictures in these articles that I'm seeing, these dolls look like real people. They have very realistic facial features, very realistic, like body parts, and things like that. So it looks like a real person. If it's lying down and you're lying there next to it, it's like a real person is in there with you. So I guess it's concerning to me that somebody could want to have sex with something that looks so real, but that can't that can't speak or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? To me, it just seems kind of weird. I don't know. It strikes me as a little strange. And then you get into the aspects of things like the violence that has been reported with some people who use these dolls. As I said earlier, there was a news story about, I think it was a convention, and they had the doll available for people to test out or whatever, and people were so violent with the doll that they broke it. Some people will argue that it's just a fantasy and the doll can't feel anything, so who cares, right? But if somebody can find sexual fulfillment while being so violent that they break what I am assuming is a quite robustly built piece of machinery, shouldn't that be a cause for concern? If they can be so violent that they break it, and they enjoy it, they enjoy doing that, they enjoy inflicting that damage, and they potentially fantasize about the fact that they could be doing that to a real person, isn't that something that we could be concerned about? And that brings me to my next point. There are some people, there's been some news stories about it here in the UK as well. I'm going to include some stories that I've talked about in the description so you can catch up with those and read them. There are some stories in the UK of people who had been in trouble with the police for ordering dolls from overseas to the UK. And the reason for that is that the dolls were made specifically to resemble children. So people were purchasing dolls to have sex with, and the models of the dolls that they were buying were made to look like children. So the bodies on the dolls and the faces, I'm assuming, and the clothes and everything would be made and manufactured so that they would look like kids. So again, if this is somebody who needs something to allow them to expand on their fantasy, where they're having sex with a child, shouldn't we be concerned about that? You know, there is this whole don't kink shame, let people do what they want, but when it's something that could potentially be a risk in the future when the doll stops being enough, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe it's something we should worry about. Maybe it's something, I mean, me personally, I don't think that I could feel safe in a relationship or in an intimate space with somebody that I knew had kind of been in that kind of situation with one of those dolls, because to me it raises the red flags and the questions of, but why did you need that? Why did you need to resort to paying hundreds of pounds for this doll? What is it that you were doing with it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, why couldn't you find a human that would do those things? What's going on with that? What is it that the doll knows that I should know before this goes any further? And maybe I am sex negative. Maybe I am kink shaming, but maybe sometimes that's healthy. Future awaits, but you are in my past, and my dying journal, once live. I later learned, traipsing through the wilds with my eyes out, that when I am not covered in me, my soul was free to hear, and I was lost in you, finally finding the intentions of your incantations. We've all been young. Sometimes we grow old too. You see, our faults grow with us. When I was young, I wrote you off, an ironic, iconic mistake. But understanding comes now with revisiting. I didn't used to like the poetry of Seamus Heaney, because I didn't get it, and I thought that it was boring, and I hated having to study him at school, because I was like, oh, I don't care. But now, it's very different for me. Like, I love his work, and I think it's because when I was young, I didn't understand, because I mean, firstly, because I was still learning and growing as not only a writer, but a reader. And so I think the more you read, you know, your taste will change and you'll find new things that you like and things like that. But also just as a person, I didn't really know a lot about the world. I thought I did, but I was wrong. And so there was a lot... As I grew up and I learned more about everything that was happening around me and everything that had come before and happened then, it was like I was reading them again, and there were new things that made more sense, and I was suddenly like, oh, I see. And, you know, having my own experiences and relating them back to the things I was now reading sort of almost through fresh eyes, it was really interesting to rediscover his work once I'd grown up and I wasn't this little kid who thought that she knew everything, but was mistaken, obviously. And I find that happens with a lot of things, you know, with films and music and stuff. As I go through life, different things that happen and different things I see and I discover change my perspective on things all the time, which is a really fun way to experience things. Sometimes you realize that you were wrong, or sometimes you see something that you didn't quite notice before. And I think that's perhaps one of the greatest things about creative work, is that you can rediscover it time and time again and in different ways as life goes on and as things take on a new meaning for you. And I think that's something that we should be really more grateful for. I never paint your walls. I just hang my hopes with blue tack, barely any tact. I have hope. It feels like home. I shut myself inside you. I tear down where I used to tread, wrapped up in you instead. I am safe. It feels like home. I have suffered for my address. From flirty flat to heaven, I feel grace, locked in, loved. It feels like home. The past passes in the street, pretending as I run home that I've been yours alone. Yours, it feels like home. How do you find home when you're convinced that you're never going to be able to stay in one place? So how do you make it a home? How do you make somebody else your home? How do you keep them close to you? I don't know. I think there are some people who will always feel like they're about to wander away. They might not even want that, you know, but that's just how some people are built, you know. You're so restless. Even when you're exhausted and all you want is just to stay and be. But you can't. Lonely, but always hopeful. And here we are at the end of another episode, but you can find more of my work on my website, jenniferwan.com, and social media on Twitter, Instagram, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, with the username Miss J Squared. I will next be performing in London on the 6th of September. Yes, in London, so you can find details for that on my website, and the details are in the description as well. If you would like to support the show, you can through Patreon, and so everything I get from Patreon goes towards this show. And also other projects like the free stuff I do on my website, the poetry collections, the short story collections, the videos and things like that. The tiers start from $1 and you get lots of exclusive content, early content and free and exclusive merchandise. So if you want to support the work I do, you can check that out there. The link for that is in the description, as well as for PayPal and Ko-fi for one-off donations, which also grant access to early release content through my website. Thank you to my friends over at Patreon, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, and Eleanor. I will see you guys. Or speak to you guys next episode. Good night, my love.